Mark chapter 12. I'm going to invite you to stand one more time, please, out of love and respect for this Bible. I'm going to read in verse 1, Mark chapter 12. I'm going to try to read. My heart is stirred this morning, and I really pray that God will work. He began to speak unto them by parables. A parable is a story that puts two things side by side to compare them.
Yeah.
A heavenly truth beside an earthly truth so that we can understand
yeah.
the heavenly truth by looking at the earthly truth. He said, a certain man planted a vineyard and set an hedge about it and digged a place for the wine fat and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And at the season he sent to the husbandman a servant that he might receive from the husbandman of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant. And at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another. And him they killed and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet, therefore, notice, one son, notice, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman, and will give the vineyard unto others. And have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought, notice in verse 12, to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them. And they left him and went their way. I'll leave off reading there. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray, God, for a few minutes now, your Holy Spirit would have perfect liberty. Father, you've already met with us in a special way through your sweet Spirit. You've already blessed and answered prayers this morning. And Father, we now come to the most important part of the service. God, the preaching of this blessed book. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to fall upon this place. I pray, God, for the lost to be so convicted, God, that they cannot. They cannot, and they would not even dare try to leave this place in their lost condition. I pray, God, for your people, those of us who are saved, to come to an understanding, God, of how great thou art, of how much we owe you, how much, Lord God, you deserve from our lives. Please, God, take control of this old vessel. Fill my heart, my mind. Anoint this frail, feeble tongue. For your honor, I pray, and your glory. God, move among us. Stir each heart, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing this morning. The parable here is comparing. The parable is directed primarily to the nation of Israel, but I'll not touch on that so much this morning. I want to make it very real to you and I, you and me who are Gentiles, you and me who are in our church here sitting in our country. I want to make it very plain to us what the teaching of this parable is in light of missions, in light of your soul's need for salvation, in light of those of us who are saved understanding what God wants from you and me. God did not save us, dearly beloved, so that we could sit and soak and sour. God did not save us so that we could just go on with our lives. God saved us, I want you to understand something, so that we could serve Him and bear fruit unto Him. Bear fruit for Him. Give Him back what He has given us, and give Him back our service and our strength and our lives. The Bible tells us that you and me are bought with a price. We are. The Bible calls us, those of us who are saved this morning, and I believe there's at least one of you who's not saved, but I'm talking to the saved here this morning, purchased possession.
Yeah.
Purchased possession. One day God is going to send Jesus Christ to the clouds, and the Bible says that He is going to redeem out of this world the purchased possession. That's those of us who have been bought with the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, right.
Those are those of us who have been saved, born again, yeah, by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and those that we've been purchased. We've been redeemed, amen? We've been ransomed. Jesus Christ was our ransom payment. Do you understand what a ransom is, don't you?
Sir.
I'm sure you do. A ransom is where you were kidnapped, you were taken hostage, you were prisoner, and someone had to pay to get you out, to redeem you, to ransom you out. And that's what Jesus' blood paid for. He was our ransom. His life was our payment for our sin.
Thank God. Thank you, Lord.
You and me should, if Christ lives in our hearts, we should understand then, from that point on, we now owe everything to God.
Yeah.
The reason a couple like this, I'm sure that they are intelligent enough and educated enough, and whatever you want to say, they have other opportunities to make a living and go about their lives in this old world and just drift along. But God has said, look, I saved you, and I've called you, and I want you to do something special for me. I want you to go to a country that's engulfed, that's flooded with darkness. We talk about Houston and Florida and the Puerto Rico and the Keys and all that. They're flooded with water. This country is flooded with iniquity, with sin,
yeah.
Darkness, spiritual darkness everywhere you look.
Mm-hmm.
This young couple here has decided to follow Jesus.
Amen.
You know, that's what we need to do this morning. I understand. Look in verse 1. A certain man planted a vineyard, set a hedge about it, digged a place for the wine fat, built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen. Now look, that's God, that certain man. That's God planting a vineyard, setting a hedge. What's a vineyard for? Fruit. You understand? A vineyard is for fruit. And then he let it out to husbandmen. He gave it to some men that would keep it while he was gone. He went away into a far country, and he said, here, keep my vineyard. Take care of whose property? His property. His vineyard. And I want you to understand that vineyard is a picture, if you will, of what God has given you and me. God has given us salvation. God has given us everything that we have today. Nothing that we have today did not come from God. All good things come down from the Father of lights, the Bible says. He is the giver of all blessings, all benefits, all good things. And He has given you and me as Americans more than we even know what to do with. If you don't believe that, then you just go look at all the storage facilities all around the city. Why do people have so much storage facilities? Because they have too much stuff, they don't even know what to do with it.
Right.
Not me. I don't. But I do have a very messy garage where a car is supposed to fit, but there ain't no way.
Yeah, amen.
You know what I'm talking about? But God has abundantly blessed America. God has abundantly blessed His people. And then He says, verse 2, at the season when it was time to get something from his vineyard, he sent a servant. He sent a representative to go get the fruit that the husbandmen were there to bear for him and to have it ready for him to send it back to him. Because after all, it's his vineyard. And he sent this servant to go get the fruit and that he might receive the fruit of the vineyard. Verse 3, they caught him. They beat him. And they sent him away empty. In other words, this servant here represents, let's say, a preacher. Listen to me now. God has given you something that you did not deserve. God has given you charge, a possession of a vineyard that's not yours. God has given you something that He wants something back from you.
Amen.
And then He sends a preacher, a soul winner. You come to a church service, not unlike this one, and God begins to speak to your heart and helps you understand that God wants some fruit from our lives. God, what does that mean? It means that God wants us to work what He's given us so that we can give back to Him what's His.
Amen. That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
The preacher came. The soul winner came and knocked on your door. And you caught him, you beat him, you cursed him, you called him all kinds of names. Come on, soul winners, you know what I'm talking about. You slammed the door in their face.
Yeah.
The missionary came and knocked on the door.
Yeah.
Talked to the Tibetan people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they didn't want to hear that. That, after all, they worship Buddha.
Uh-huh.
And they don't understand. See, but this is a parable helping us understand. This is human nature, that when God gives us something we don't deserve, somehow in our warped minds, right, we begin to think, well, this is mine.
Uh-huh. Yep, come on.
I mean, this is mine. I work this vineyard. I work. This is my fruit. I'm not going to give this to anybody. This is my fruit. Now, I'm not talking about money necessarily this morning, but after all the money we have is God's too.
That's right. Amen.
But I'm not even going to go there this morning because I don't want you to fall asleep on me. Amen. I don't want you to shut me off as soon as I talk about money. But the truth is, everything we have, and this vineyard, by the way, notice in verse 1, it's a vineyard, it's a hedge about it, it's a place for a wine fat, there's a tower. In other words, everything is provided. Everything is provided in order for it to be a fruitful vineyard.
Amen.
Here comes the preacher. Here comes the soul winner saying, listen, I want to tell you a little bit about Jesus Christ. He died for your sin. He was buried. He rose again on the third day so that you might be saved, so that you might live your life for Him, so that you might be able to not only just go to heaven, but you can also live and serve God right here on this earth, and you can bear fruit unto Him. And the door slams. So verse 4 says, again, God sent unto them another servant. Another, maybe this time it was a co-worker. Maybe this time it was a neighbor. Maybe this time it was a relative or a friend. And He sent him another servant. And at him they cast stones. You know, you may not pick up stones and throw stones at people, but when you start calling Christians names and calling them all kinds of things that you wouldn't even mention in church, I hope. Those stones hurt worse than the real stones hitting my skin. But see, God's trying to get your attention, dearly beloved. God's trying to get your attention, lost soul. God's trying to get you to see that there's something there's more to this life than just sitting and soaking and sorrowing and then perishing. God says, I have a plan for your life. I've given you so much, and all I want you to do is work it for me and give it back to me, and I promise you, there'll be way more than you could ever imagine.
Come on, brother. Come on.
This vineyard was very fruitful. This vineyard was very productive. Had it not been, these husbandmen wouldn't have been so upset. But when the servants came to get what the Father had sent them to get, they said, this is mine.
Uh-huh.
This is mine. So they caught one, the other one they cast stones, they wounded him, and they sent him away shamefully handled in verse 4. Verse 5, God doesn't give up. Are you listening to me? Verse 5, God doesn't give up.
Amen.
The Bible says He sent another. Now look up this way just a second. He's always working in your life.
That's right.
Amen.
He's always working.
Amen.
In all of our lives.
Amen.
He's always sending someone else by. Brother McElroy said it this morning, very aptly said, it's very true. God uses people.
Right. Amen. Amen.
You're here today because somebody invited you. I know some of you came through a track, but somebody put that track on your vehicle, on your car, on your door, wherever the case was. And somebody did that. And God's sending people here.
Amen.
To the husbandmen, the keepers of God's possessions, and he's sending another, and he's sending another, and he's sending another, but they're stoning them, they're casting them away, they're handing them, they're embarrassing them. And listen, Christians, listen to me. If you're a part of this servant crowd that keeps going and keeps going and keeps going, listen to me, you're okay.
Amen.
But preacher, you don't understand, they're laughing at me, they're making fun of me. Well, I guarantee you some of those people in Tibet are not going to understand what the McElroys are doing. Some of those people in Tibet are not going to ever even receive what they're doing. Some of them, even especially the spiritual wickedness in that city, in that country, is going to fight them
Amen.
Greatly. And I know you know that. I know they know that. But greater is he that is in me than he that's in this world.
Yeah, that's right. Hallelujah.
And so if you're one of these servants that keeps going and keeps going and keeps going, I want you to understand something. God sending you, you go.
That's right. Amen.
Brother McElroy, Miss McElroy, God sending you, you go.
Amen, brother. That's right.
You go. There's a vineyard over there in Tibet, in Nepal, and among the Tibetan people that God has for you to go and you to tell them about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
That's what a missionary's job is. Amen. That's what a soul winner's job is. That's what a Christian's job is.
That's right. That's right. Come on, preach it, brother.
You and me have, however, some of you, again, they sent another in verse 5, they killed him, and many others, I want you to notice that verse, many others, beating some, killing some, not a whole lot of regard for those servants. No regard at all. No respect. And these people are coming back. Listen now, don't forget this. Representing the owner.
Yeah.
Representing the owner. They're ambassadors. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says that you and me are ambassadors. We are here as Christians to represent the King of all glory.
Amen.
But boy, the world just doesn't always like that, do they? Beat some, kill some. You say, preacher, they're not killing anybody right now. Study your history a little bit. From 500 A.D. to about 1500 A.D., 1,000 years, what we call the devil's millennium, when Queen Mary was on the throne and Nero was emperor, there were over 5 million of our brothers and sisters martyred for Christ. Sawn in sunder, sawn in half, decapitated, buried alive, drowned in the ocean. They would kill their babies. They would stone them like this. They would burn them at the stake. 5+ million martyrs. Why? Because they were serving the Lord. They were serving, they were representing the owner of all things. And understand something, it's not unusual for people to not like a Christian. It's been happening since, well, the beginning of time.
That's right, amen.
Can I challenge you this morning, just like Brother McElroy and his wife, when they got there and they saw the people and their eye affected their heart and the call of God was confirmed in their heart and they realized, I don't care if these people kill me, I don't care if they slay me, though he slay me, Job said, yet will I trust him because I know that I represent the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the God of all of heaven.
Amen.
They don't need me to encourage them, but I would like to encourage my church members this morning. You don't have to go to Tibet to be a servant of the Most High God, but you should be a servant of the Most High God. There should be something that you are doing for God to bring forth fruit unto Him.
Praise God.
Yesterday we got to talk to a man. Boy, that's why I ask you to turn your phone off.
Yeah.
Yesterday we got to talk to a man, 53 years old, from Louisiana. He's an old Cajun. Got saved.
Amen.
Got saved. He asked Christ to save him right there on his doorstep. And then I went home. I was telling Brother Max this earlier. I went home after we got done, and I was pulling in the driveway. And as I pulled in the driveway, the mailman pulled up right behind me and stopped, got out of his truck to put the mail in the mailbox because my daughter Brittany's car is parked in the front of the house. So he can't just drive by and, you know, the mailman drive by. But he had to pull up and stop and get out of his truck. Well, I was getting out of the church van right about that. Just what a coincidence. And I said, well, here, let me give you the gospel track here. I'd like to invite you to church. It was a Saturday route. It wasn't our normal mailman, Saturday mailman, a younger man. And I gave him a track, and I said, you go to church anywhere? You live around here? He said, no, I live in Fort Worth. I used to live here, but now I live in Fort Worth, but I kept my job. And he was standing there. He never got back in his truck. And I had my hands full of the mail he gave me, and then I had my keys and like an empty water bottle I was going to throw away. So I'm thinking, surely he's got to go, and I got stuff in my hand. I can't even hardly talk to him. My Bible was in the church van. I didn't bring it with me, but he just stood there.
Praise God. Amen.
And I don't want to say God spoke to me, but I know that he's just standing there in front of me, and I'm giving him a gospel track. I should just go ahead and take advantage of this.
Amen.
Surely the mailman's got to go to the next house, though, but he just stood there.
Amen.
And I said, well, do you remember a time in your life where anybody ever told you from the Bible what it means to be saved and how to know for sure that when you die, you go to... He said, well, you know, it's been a long time since I went to church. Hint, hint. In other words, no, nobody's ever told me, and if they did, I don't even remember. And so I stood right there by the mailman's truck with the mailman standing by his door, and he got saved.
Amen.
He got saved right there in front of my house. I thought, hallelujah, this is wonderful. Mailman can get saved too. How about that?
Amen.
Listen, there's no wrong person to witness to. There's no wrong person to tell about Jesus. You don't have to go to Tibet, but if God calls you, go.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Go, Brother Joe. Go. But there's people everywhere that are trusting in something that they've done. They're trusting in, and of course, they just don't have a clue. They know that their life is empty. They know that their heart's full of darkness. They know that they don't have any clue how to get to heaven. Yeah. But they want to go. They want to go. These servants just kept coming and coming back and coming back and coming back. And listen to me, the truth is, there will be some people who will get saved.
Yes, that's right.
Even if it's the male. Man. Now, every one of you has somebody you can talk to about the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
They beat these servants. They killed some of them. Verse 6 says, but, okay, God, the owner of the vineyard said, okay, I'm going to send my well-beloved. I'm going to send my only begotten. And the Bible says, at the last, he sent them saying, surely they will reverence, they will respect, they will honor my son. I mean, my son. Surely they will see him and they will understand this is my son. But, verse 7, those husbandmen, those evil people, those lost sinners, lost souls, they said, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. They took him, they killed him, they cast him out of the vineyard. This morning as I close, if you're not aware of that, that's Jesus.
Amen.
The Son of God.
Amen.
The only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. As we can see here, dearly beloved, in verse 7, he did not open his mouth. They saw him coming. They saw him coming. They said, this is the son. We're going to kill him. We're going to take over. Understand something. That's exactly what happened to Jesus. The Pharisees said, this is nobody. We're going to kill him and we're going to take over. We don't want these people to follow this man. We want these people to follow us. See, the Bible says that the Pharisees, the Jews, they killed Jesus out of envy. They were jealous that he was pulling people away from them. And listen to me today as I close. Listen, pay close attention, please. No distractions this morning. Listen, look right up here. When Jesus died, it had to happen. It was not a surprise to God.
That's right.
It had to happen. Because you and me had no other way to ever get to heaven. You and me had no other way to ever pay for our own sin. We had no way to ever enter through the gates of glory. We had no way. All of our good works, all of our righteousnesses were filthy and are still filthy rags. When God looks at me, He does not look at me as a good person. He looks at me as a saved sinner, born again by the grace of God. The righteousness of Christ in me is the only way I'll ever get to heaven.
Amen.
I can't earn my way. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, because of Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ. You've got to go through Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the door. He is the good shepherd. He is the Savior of the world. He is Emmanuel. He is Redeemer. He is Savior. Amen. He is God the Son.
Amen.
This morning, they killed their son, the son of their owner of their vineyard. And so many people today, and even many of the Tibetans, they don't understand. They don't understand what they're doing. But they just look at Jesus, they look at the cross, they look at the death, the burial, the resurrection. They hear the gospel story, and America is so gospel hardened.
Uh-huh.
We've heard it so many times. It doesn't even stir our hearts anymore. We just kind of fall asleep in church because the preacher's just preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Listen to me, dearly beloved. Had He not come, had He not shed His blood, had He not died for our sins, had He not bore our sins on His body on that tree, had He not been crucified for us, you and me would be condemned to eternal hell.
Amen.
This morning, God's still trying to send servants.
Amen.
To bear fruit for Him. God's still sending choice servants like Brother Joe and his wife. God's still calling some of you. You say, well, I'm only so-and-so. How old was he when he surrendered to preach? I mean, to the mission field? Who was listening? 13.
Amen.
Now, he didn't go start a church at 14, but he surrendered his life. He knew that God wanted him to serve Him. And he's going to go to Tibet to bring forth fruit unto the owner of the vineyard, his heavenly Father. Listen, you and me have a job to do. God has a purpose for us, dearly beloved. We are His servants. We are His children. Those of us today, listen, He sent His only begotten Son, and His only begotten Son suffered and bled and died at the hands of sinners who did not want to give anything to God. How dare we identify with them?
Yeah.
How dare we identify with those who say, that is mine, I'm keeping this, you're not having anything, God. How dare we identify with those who hung our Savior on the cross?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, I can't speak for you, but this morning, I want to be identified with Jesus.
Amen.
I want to be identified with the well-beloved Son who, even though he died serving His Father.
Yeah.
He died doing the will of God from the heart. And today I'm going to heaven because of that.
Praise God.
And I want to be identified with Him. I have decided, and I have decided, and I have decided, and I have to decide every day to follow Jesus.
Yes, yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Sister Barbara over here was in our church in Sanger years ago. And she got saved up there and sang our first service.
Amen.
I remember there was about 25 people there, and 10 of them flooded the altar and got saved that first day. I thought, praise God, this is good. This never happened since. But, hey man, but God was encouraging the young preacher.
Amen.
Miss Barbara was one of them. And she got baptized and started going to church and started realizing, you know, I think I decided to follow Jesus.
Amen.
And that was her favorite song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, what's sad, though, is so many people sing a song, say a word or two, but when something better comes along, all of a sudden they forgot about their decision. You know, you don't have to go to Tibet to decide to follow Jesus. But you should decide to follow Jesus.
Amen.
And you should stick with that decision.
Amen.
Well, preacher, you just don't understand. It's not easy. Jesus died. Let me read you this. This servant was, let's see here, they called him, they beat him, they sent him away empty. Another servant, they cast stones, they wounded him in the head, they sent him away shamefully handled, embarrassed. Another one, they killed, and many others, they beat some, they killed some. Jesus, they just flat out killed him. Cast, and the Bible says, cast him out of the vineyard.
Yeah.
Get away from us. Now, who was right and who was wrong? You know the answer, and I know the answer. But here's the next question. Who are you going to identify with?
Yeah.
Amen.
When God looks at your life, does he see a servant who's doing it no matter what? Or does he see someone who's rejecting everything he's trying to do?
Yeah.
That's convicting.
Amen.
Who do you identify with? Who does your life line up with? The servants that are willing to go to the other side of the world? They're just sinners. Saved by the same grace that it saved you and me?
Amen.
Who do you identify with? The servants who are willing to go, and if God takes their life, you know what they're going to do? They're going to rejoice on the streets of glory because they gave their life in service to the King.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
However, if you quit and you decide no more of this, it's too hard, you're going to be ashamed at the coming of the Lord. I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
You don't want to be there.
Amen.
Where are you at this morning? These servants were coming to get fruit for the Father.
Amen.
How many times has somebody come to you and said, you know what, you need to be saved.
Yeah.
You need to be saved. Jesus died for your sins.
Yeah.
You need to be saved. You need to be born again. Now, I didn't say you need to go to church. Church is important. I didn't say you need to get baptized. I said you need to get saved.
Amen.
You need to be born again.
Amen.
The only thing, the only payment that God will accept for your soul is the blood of Jesus. And you can't have that except by the grace, the free grace of God.
Amen. That's right.
You have to be saved.
Yeah, thank you,
Lord. There's no other way. Let's bow our heads this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around, please. I want to ask you a question. If you died right now, do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt, without any doubt at all, 110% absolutely positive, that you would be in heaven? As a testimony, would you just raise your hand and say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. No doubt about it. Thank you. You can put them down. It's a blessing to see those hands. This morning, I want to ask you then, secondly, and again, we're not trying to embarrass anybody, but maybe you couldn't raise your hand. Maybe you wanted to, but you just knew, I can't. Maybe you were just honest, and thank you for being honest. But you know, there is no reason in this world to not know for sure. Jesus has already died. The price has already been paid. The blood has already been shed. The tomb is empty today, proving to you, proving to me, and to all the world that He is greater than all sin and all of Satan's power and all of the forces of hell. God is greater. And the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the only power. Listen to me now. The only power that can save your soul. I know you're good. I know you're in church on a Sunday morning on purpose. And I thank you for being here. But I'm talking about heaven, not church. If you die today, say, preacher, I don't know. My heart, I'm terrified. I don't want to die. I don't know. You know, God doesn't give us that spirit of fear. God says, I'll give you power and love and a sound mind. What does that mean? I'll give you peace. I'll give you salvation, everlasting life. Can I pray for you this morning? It's all I want to do. No one's looking around. We're not going to embarrass you. You're among friends this morning. I think you know that. You say, preacher, if I died right now, I don't know. I don't know if I'd go to heaven, but I know I don't want to go to hell. I'm going to ask you, just quietly slip up your hand so I can pray for you. Put it right back down. No one's looking but me, and I want to pray. Thank you. I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you. Would there be another one here today? Would you just be honest with God? Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you. Is there another one here today that would say, preacher, I don't know if I'd go to heaven if I died today. Is there one more? Is there someone else who would just be honest with God and say, preacher, pray for me? I promise you, I'm not going to call your name. I just want to pray. Would you be honest? Just slip your hand up and put it right back down if you haven't done it yet. Would there be another one? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, you've seen the hands. I've seen the hands, but you know the hearts. And Lord, you know where they're at. Oh God, we've been in your presence today. We are in your presence right now. Your sweet Holy Spirit has met with us, God. And Lord, I'm convicted, Lord God. I need to do more. I need to be busier working. God, I pray for these precious souls who have raised their hand this morning, who have been honest with you and admitted, God, they don't know if they're saved. Oh, God. Please, Heavenly Father, please don't let them leave this place today without assurance of their salvation. Please don't let them leave this place, God, in their lost condition. Lord, I love them, Lord, and I know that you love them. Lord, you died for them. You shed your blood, God, so they could be saved. And Lord, they're sitting here today without Jesus, without that assurance. Lord, help them today, God. Open up their eyes, their hearts. Bring them to Jesus. Don't let them delay, Father, please. Don't let them delay. Lord, we need your help today. I pray for your believers, your church members, your people, your Christians, those of us who are saved. Lord, we're saved, God, to serve you, to keep going back to the vineyards, to keep going back to the world, to keep going back to that which belongs to you, Father, to bring forth fruit. God, help us. Lord, there are people here today, Christians here today, who have never won a soul to Jesus. They've never had the privilege of seeing a sinner bow their head and call upon your name for salvation. Lord, I pray you'd encourage them today. I pray you'd strengthen them today. I pray you'd lead them, God, to be a better servant, to be a more faithful servant, to be a worker in your vineyards, God. Now, Father, bless this invitation. Souls are hanging in the balance, Lord. Please, God, save them today. Do a work in their hearts, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name.